Good morning. I greet all of you in Jesus' name. Time has come full circle, and this is the last Sunday of a Sunday school year. So first, I'd like to thank a lot of you for the time you've invested. Teachers have spent a lot of time and energy, and that has been invested in the lives of those around you. So I would say well done. And I want to thank all of you who've supported me and Lowell and prayed for us and just supported us. And this morning I want to think about the body. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll read verses 4 through 30. In these verses, Paul parallels the diversity of our human bodies with the church, the body of Christ. Starting in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. So diverse giftings that work together bring wholeness to a group and benefit each individual. And I have a quote by John Nash. The best for the group comes when everyone in the group does what's best for himself and the group. Another example of how a body works together, a group of people work together, is in the game of softball. We get together and we take 10 people who've showed up and they want to play softball, and we put them on a team together. And each person comes with a gift, something they're good at in softball. And we try to find where that position is, because if they play their best in the position they're good at, they benefit the entire team. And softball's also a good way for people to, you know, disagree with each other and have close calls and have to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and face emotions that are good to face, you know. So, a little plug for softball here. Softball is an excellent way to practice body life. So, if you feel like you need some of that Friday nights, you can come and practice body life with the rest of us. So, now looking back in the verses here, Paul's audience was scrapping over who had the most important job. In verse 31, Paul talks of the most excellent way. So I was trying to see what he was talking about. What is the most excellent way? So I thought, well, let's just read chapter 13 and see what the most excellent way is. There's different parts in a group, in a body, different giftings, but then there is the most excellent way. So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 13 and read the chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So when Paul said, I will show you the most excellent way, he was talking about love. Because love supersedes all the giftings that we can have. It outlasts any gift that we are given. If we use that gift in love, it is greater than the gift. Those are my thoughts for this morning. Let's kneel together and pray.